Hi, this is Pat Fraley, purveyor of Duck Doog and Villain Voices, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
There is nothing wrong with your podcast player. Do not attempt to adjust the volume. Hello and welcome back into our studio. You are now inside Studio 2009. I'm, of course, Team Chair and Mike. Joining me, as always, Steve Megatron. Hello, sir.
Hello.
And today we are getting back to our countdowns. We've got our individual lists for our top 10 most rewatched movies / films. So these are movies and films that we rewatch all of the time.
I will say that this was a little difficult. because there's certain shows that I'll rewatch or certain movies I'll rewatch. But there's also ones I'll rewatch numerous times after I see it for the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of fades away. For a while anyway. But yeah, there's a number of them that I'm unsure where they would normally land because under normal circumstances, I don't rewatch a lot.
Yeah.
But there are those exceptions.
Yeah. And for me, and I need to clarify this, and I'll clarify this now, and I will clarify this in the next episode when we do our TV shows. These are live action. So live action film and live action TV shows will be next week, top 10.
That was animation, the other thing that threw me.
Yeah, animation is a whole other, like, because
I almost need top 20.
Yeah, I mean, because look, while cartoons and animation and anime and all that are actual television shows, I don't lump in cartoons with TV shows. Cartoons are its own category in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because we would be here all day for that. Just listen to the top 100 animated series and the top 100 animated films countdowns that we've done in the past. Oh boy.
Yeah, we almost need to revisit that. It's so old.
Yeah, I know, right? Hey, at least we don't have to have competing. I remember back in 2011 when we did the animated series. Poor Optimus Solo. He was so, and rightfully so, but he was so incensed by the IGN list.
Well, the IGN list was, to preface this, you know, not to get too much into that rat hole. Their list was blasphemous. There were things that should not have been on there. There were things that should have been on there. There were things that should have been higher. There were things that should have been lower. Yeah. And it was just overall a terrible list. And so when we were giving it the opportunity to basically reboot it, especially when the comment section for that was just nailing it to the wall because it was so bad. Yeah. And
so for those of you who are listening, sorry, go ahead.
Well, he had the difficult job of putting all that mess together, but it was also the fact that for every reveal, you had to click.
It was 100 pages of 100. Yeah. Not including the intro page. It was 100 pages, and you had to click through each one so they could get 100 clicks per person. It's the whole reason why we have our top 100 podcasts, top 50 podcasts, top whatever podcasts that we do that we've done over the past 13 years now is because of that IGN animated series list. So thanks, IGN, but no thanks, IGN. So for me, I usually can make a list within 20 minutes most of the time, because if I'm thinking of shows that I actually rewatch on a regular basis or maybe every few years, not shows, movies, you know, maybe I rewatch them on a regular basis. Maybe I rewatch them every few years kind of thing and all that. You know, I can, but I started this as we're recording this, the day we're recording this, I started making this list at 9 a.m. Pacific time. And right up until we recorded, I just finished changing it, and I'm finally happy with the choices that I've made.
I wrote mine up last night. And I was, well, what's funny is I was like, what movies have I seen? multiple times because I was genuinely drawing a blank. And mm-hmm. I actually went back and I have not updated this list. I wish there was an easier way of doing this. Like there was a way to download a master list of every movie released ever. And you know, yeah. the category that it's tied to, because I genuinely would like to go through and check off every movie I've seen.
Yeah.
It just because I found a list that I used to keep when we used to have a boatload of movies. And I think we had like 1300 or 1400 movies at the time.
My God.
I have since dumped it all.
Obviously, yes.
Between multiple moves, it wasn't worth it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so I would honestly like to see what I've seen and what, you know, basically it would make it easier to know what I've watched and what I haven't watched.
When I've done research in the past for, like, we did a series on GCR of Optimus Solo had us doing, like, the action films or the Western films or the sci-fi films or, you know, whatever. I forget if those were – I think those were top tens. But, like, when I was doing research for those a number of years ago now, I would look at each decade. And I would only look – I personally would only look at films that were released in the United States, because if a film is released somewhere else that I don't have access to – why
You're
am
not
I going to
watch it anyway?
Why am I going to put it on a list? How am I going to watch it anyway? Yeah, exactly. So I do remember Wikipedia having like film by decade kind of thing where you could go in and look at each year, each month of each year and see what films were released when kind of thing. But that still is. Yeah, you're right. You want a whole master list of everything, and it is what it is. All right, folks, starting off at number 10, what do you got, sir?
Well, for my number 10 film of rewatch, I have The Night at the Museum.
Theodore Roosevelt, at your service.
Teddy, can you get us out of here?
Can't do it, man. This is your moment.
Will you save the lectures, please? I'm not you, okay? I didn't build the Panama Canal. I wasn't president of the United States. I need some help. Come on.
Actually, I never did any of those things. Teddy Roosevelt did. I was made in a mannequin factory in Poughkeepsie. I never shot a wild beast. I'm not even brave enough to tell that beautiful woman I love her. But you. You gotta finish the job this time. You can't quit. Made of wax, Larry. What are you made of?
Yes, Ben Stiller, Robin Williams. Yep.
Well, and I had to include it because it just has so many iconic different actors in it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a lot of fun. I really enjoy the movie, especially on subsequent watchings. And there's just a lot of memorable actors, a lot of fun that happens in it. And then the fact that it's in a museum and the roles that everyone has to play.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I should also say, folks, that I personally did not list any superhero films, any sci-fi. Like, even though this is Studio 2009, even though we are the Geekcast Radio Network, this is just what I rewatch over and over again over time. These are, like... The nerdiest film on here is probably number 4, and that's only because it's based off of a video game franchise, and no, it is not Mario. For number 10 for me, it's funny you picked a Robin Williams film, because I am also picking a Robin Williams film, a different one. Bicentennial Man from 1999.
Okay. Not a bad choice.
I love this movie.
Of every human being that I care for, leave.
I'm afraid so.
That won't do.
This, if I had to watch a Robin Williams dramedy, whatever, you know, a Robin Williams flick that basically ticks every box between comedy and drama and emotion and whatever, this is the film for me. Because not only does he get to express his comedic aspects, he also, as the robot Andrew in the film, he also gets to learn and figure things out. And it's just a cool story. And like you mentioned with Night of the Museum, Bicentennial Man has some great supporting or other actors and actresses in it. I don't want to say supporting, but it's got Sam Neill as the dad of the family that Andrew is bought from and that kind of thing. And it's got the chief, may she rest in peace, Lynn Thigpen from the old Carmen Sandiego game show.
Oh, yeah.
as the high council woman that he has to go to in front of to say that, hey, I want to be recognized as human kind of thing. And I love that movie so much.
It's because I'm presuming that I could be kind of human if I only had a heart. Picture me.
Do you have an impact drill?
Yeah, over on the rack.
Thank you.
At number 9 for you, sir, what do you got?
Well, for my number 9, I have Christmas Vacation.
Hmm.
Chevy Chase.
I know.
I'm just saying.
I didn't think of putting it on because I only really watch it at Christmas.
There's other times of the year I watch it. And okay. So I find it very, I don't know, entertaining just for that moment where you just never know what's going to happen. Like, yep. And, I don't know. It's just a good feel-good movie in some regards. Like, even though it's just it's horrible when you stop and think about it.
Hey, if any of you are looking for any last-minute gift ideas for me, I have one. I'd like Frank Shirley, my boss, right here tonight. I want him brought from his happy holiday slumber over there in Melody Lane with all the other rich people, and I want him brought right here with a big ribbon on his head. And I want to look him straight in the eye, and I want to tell him what a cheap, lying, no-good, rotten, four-flushing, low-life, snake-licking, dirt-eating, inbred, overstuffed, ignorant, blood-sucking, dog-kissing, brainless, dickless, hopeless, heartless, fat-ass, bug-eyed, stiff-legged, spotty-lipped, worm-headed sack of monkey shit he is! Hallelujah! Holy shit! Where's the Tylenol?
I mean, we're going to do Christmas in July this year. I'm springing this on you now. And we will revisit this film because I have a whole bunch of other thoughts that will take up more of our time here. I see what you're saying, but that's a discussion for another day.
Yeah.
Number 9 for me, Hack the Planet. 1995's Hackers with Johnny Lee Miller, Angelina Jolie, Matthew Lillard, Fisher Stevens, Lorraine Bracco. I am saying these names off of memory, folks, because I've seen this movie so many damn times.
Hidden beneath the world we know is the world they inhabit.
Dave?
Yeah, Ma?
What are you doing?
I'm taking over a TV network.
I'll finish up, honey, and get to sleep.
They're hackers.
Hackers penetrate and ravage private and publicly owned computer systems.
Hack the planet!
Hack the planet!
It's not just something they do.
Sure, this sweet machine's not going to waste.
Are you challenging me?
It's who they are.
I win, you wear a dress on our date.
And if I win, so do you.
They can crack any code. Get inside any system.
Hello?
Mr. Gill, according to our records, you're dead.
I'm what?
But this time...
Come here, look at this.
It's some kind of virus.
Unless $5 million is transferred to the following account, I will capsize 5 oil tankers. They just hacked the wrong guy.
Game's over.
Whoever wrote this needs somebody to take the fall.
He's about to commit the perfect computer crime.
You've created a virus that's gonna cause a worldwide disaster?
And they're about to take the blame.
A hacker planted the virus.
But it's the perfect cover.
Come on, you know
we're being framed.
Can we be allies?
I don't play well with others.
Oh, wow, we are fried.
Okay, let's nail it.
You're not good enough to beat me.
Yeah, maybe I'm not. But we are.
They're the only ones who can prevent a catastrophe.
I know how to stop this guy.
They'll trace you like that.
Are you nuts? Come at me!
Unlike any the world has ever seen.
Never send a boy to do a woman's job.
Hackers of the world unite.
Cops on the building.
I need more time.
This is the end, my friend.
United Artists welcomes you to the new world.
I know that's not what computers ended up being, and I know it's a fictional world, but isn't that what we all hoped they would be? Isn't that what we hoped the net would be when, you know? I don't know. I just enjoy the film. It's a fun little story. For 90s special effects, it's got some really awesome computer stuff in it. Very, very cool. Number 8 for you, sir, is
Man of the Year.
Another Robin Williams movie.
Robin Williams movie, and I love it for multiple reasons. One, it shows how corrupt everything can be. How awesome Robin Williams can be. And I love the supporting cast with him. It just makes the film, because you have all these different comedians and actors that play a lot of comedic roles, and then they're all together, and I love the presidential debate in it.
Yeah, that is awesome.
Where he just derails the whole thing, where you got a guy that's like Clinton and like Bush, and he's just railroading both of them. Mm-hmm. And it was so entertaining that it's one of my go-to like movies that I'll watch like maybe once or twice a year.
We take your money and run. Smackdown. Accountability. It's all about accountability. I'm saying that's $100 million the government bought in airline tickets.
No, for God's sakes, you got some real trouble here. Stand by a free. Take three.
Ask for the refund, and the airlines are
Faith, can you hear me? Yes. Can you get control of this, please? Get control of this.
Don't you see? We deal in weapons of mass destruction. They push your buttons. That's how they do it. He's talking about hydrogen fuel. They also, he wants an amendment to the Constitution on flag burning.
It's an emotional issue. They're talking about the desecration of the flag, but if you go online right now, you can buy flag underwear.
Wow.
You can see an old lady basically wearing a flag thong and go, "Oh, Grandma, don't tell me where Old Glory is." It's all about distraction.
Mr. Dodge.
No, sir. Mr. Kellogg. This is ridiculous.
Totally
you want to pass
line.
Amendment against same-sex marriage. Anybody who's ever been married knows it's always the same sex.
But it's still often enough that I can remember a lot of the quotes and a lot of things that happen in it. But I like it because of the movie. And then one of my favorite quotes is... politicians are a lot like diapers. They should be changed often for the same reason.
Alrighty then.
I love that quote.
Because
it's true.
Alrighty then.
Yes.
Oh boy. My choice at this position is the year 2000's Nicolas Cage film, along with Taya Leone and Jeremy Piven, The Family Man. I remember seeing this in theaters, and what drew me to this film was not only the trailer and how the story was kind of explored in the trailer, but also some of the songs that are in this film. Like, it has one of my favorite Seal songs, and No, It Is Not Kiss from a Rose, It's a song called, it's one of my favorites. You think I'd know it. I believe it's Heaven or Just Like Heaven or something like that. I don't know. And no, it's not the Bruno Mars thing. It's something by Seal. Anyway.
Jack Campbell thought he had everything.
Merry Christmas.
I'm giving everything I've got to this deal.
You're a credit to capitalism, Jack. Yeah.
Then one day, his past caught up to him.
Kate Reynolds. She was my girlfriend in college. I almost married her.
But instead, you left her.
I took the road less traveled.
And fate.
What?
Him?
Me.
Gave him a glimpse.
What do you need, Jack?
I got everything I need.
Yeah? You just remember that. You brought this on yourself.
At what his life could have been.
Kate?
Come on, Dad, get up! It's Christmas, it's Christmas!
Jack! Strong coffee.
Where's my Ferrari?
You got a Ferrari?
Just tell me what's happening to me!
This is a glimpse.
A glimpse of what?
This is not my beautiful house!
This is very strange, because this isn't my house.
Ah!
This is not my beautiful wife!
Those aren't my kids. Oh!
You're not really my dad, are you?
I don't have time for this. I'm in the middle of a deal.
Well, you're working on a new deal now, baby.
Good Lord. Do you know why I work here? Because you're the best damn tire guy in the state of New Jersey.
You must have needed this every day.
Yeah, you need it in Mag Wheels.
You want me.
That is the general idea.
God, you're beautiful.
How can you look at me like you haven't seen me every day for the last 13 years?
Jack! What's up? How you feeling, baby?
Can't keep coming in and out of people's lives, messing things up. It's not right.
I need you to remember me, Kate. Keep it with you no matter what happens.
Academy Award winner Nicolas Cage. Whoa. The Family Man.
Family Man basically has this, you know, Nick Cage playing a Nick Cage role as Jack Campbell, and he's this hotshot, you know, big shot with the Ferrari and the this, that, and the other thing and everything else. And the whole point of the film is one moment in your life changes and your entire life changes. And what I love about this is that Don Cheadle is the kind of angel with wings kind of guy that's there. It's not really an angel with wings, but he's that sidekick, that person that interrupts, you know, whatever Jack is going to do next kind of thing. And it shows him two different lives. It shows him his bachelor life that he knows and he has and he loves. And it shows him, you know, hey, what if 13 years ago he made a different choice instead of going off to be this super finance guy in London? What if he actually stayed with the Taya Leone character and what their life would be like?
That's a good movie.
It is. I really dig it.
That's the benefit of this top 10 list of both of us is there are movies that we both would have on our list.
Yes.
But we don't have to list them on our specific list.
No. And you know, that's the whole point of us not sharing our lists with each other. So we don't, like, you know, there's a little bit of shock value. Like, oh, hey, I remember that. But you tell me why it's your favorite first kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Coming up next is number 7. What do you got?
Ace Ventura, When Nature Calls.
Oh, God.
And you must be the Monopoly guy.
Yeah? Well, if you were me, then I'd be you! And I'd use your body to get to the top! You can't stop me no matter who you are!
Alrighty then.
At least it's only number 7.
Well, it was like a premature last-minute change.
What was it number 7 before?
Die Hard.
Oh. Okay.
You went already then, and I was like, oh yeah, Ace Ventura. I've seen the second movie so many times that I can like actively listen to the movie
mm-hmm.
without watching it and know exactly what's going on at every specific second. I've seen it so many times. I didn't even see it in theater. I mean, I was too young for that, but I remember seeing it on cable.
Yeah.
And they still had him coming out of the rhino, so.
Oh.
Yeah. That was the part of the movie. That's the only, like, that's the worst part of that whole movie. Like, the rest of it I enjoy, but even that part, I'm like, eh, that's a bit much.
Yeah. Number seven for me is 2004's Finger Up in the Air, Middle Finger in the Air to the Fast and the Furious franchise. It is Torque.
No one ever tell you that every time you're around, everything just goes to hell?
It's a talent I have. Welcome to paradise, boys.
It's a place where everything moves so fast. You have to pause just to catch your breath. But if you stop too long, you're gone. Now.
Fort.
Seems some street punk.
Turned up dead.
Oh, no.
They need someone to take the fall.
Feds think you did it.
Agent McPherson, Federal Gang Task Force.
Reapers think you did it.
And I want his head in Dojo's bowl by midnight.
Now everybody thinks you did it.
But just because they set him up.
I took off so you wouldn't get dragged into it.
So you left to protect me?
Doesn't mean they can take him down.
Walk away.
Was that a threat?
I think it was.
You're not listening to me.
That was set up.
Innocent men don't run.
Reapers! Catch them, kill them, and bury
them! You shouldn't pick on girls.
We got a plan, right?
Wouldn't be any fun if it was easy.
Does it have to be this much fun?
Smash you right now.
You ain't gonna like how this ends.
Torque. So this was the motorcycle version of Fast and the Furious, where they basically took a guy and his friends and you know, had them on bikes instead of cars, and they actually make a point in the movie of basically saying, oh, this is why all you people who drive cars are such assholes, kind of thing. What I like about this film is that it's different. You don't see a lot of motorcycle films. It stars Martin Henderson, Ice Cube, Monet Mazur, Adam Scott, Matt Schultz. Oh, well, it actually does have a Fast and the Furious connection, because Matt Schultz was Vince in the Fast and the Furious. Anyway, you know, and it's just a fun flick that has some awesome music in it, and I just love seeing the guy who gets set up and he has to prove that it, you know, he's actually the hero and somebody else did the murder, kind of thing. And it's just a lot of fun. Number six for you, sir.
Iron Man.
I'm just not the hero type, clearly, with this laundry list of character defects, all the mistakes I made, largely public. Yeah. Truth is, I am Iron Man.
Yeah.
I was not expecting that, but okay, sure, Iron Man.
Yes. I do have superhero films on mine in sci-fi, so go figure.
I never said you couldn't do that. I just said I didn't do that.
So, yeah, I put that on there because, one, it launched the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Two, I like Robert Downey Jr. films, and I had to include something with him in it. Mm-hmm. However, I don't know. That one, to me, is still probably the strongest out of the three, even though mm-hmm. I enjoyed all of them. Like, I feel like the second one was weakest, but the first one and the third one were pretty good. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. It's just one of those movies. And I remember seeing this one in theater.
Mm-hmm.
So it has that extra pull for me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, everyone that was anyone went to see Iron Man in theaters, because that was a huge deal. Mm-hmm. Very, very huge deal in 2008. Because back 6 years previous, when Spider-Man came out on May 3rd of 2002, Spider-Man was the, like, oh, comic book movies can really be done like this. Marvel movies can really be done. Like, you know, kind of say what you will about Defoe's costume in the original Spider-Man movie, but that movie proved that comic movies could really be done realistically and awesomely. And Iron Man, I love Iron Man.
Yeah.
I love how snarky he is. I love that, you know, it is RDJ doing it. And yeah, very, very cool.
Well, and he also said that the worst part of him playing that role was having to put on the armor, which they rectified in later mm-hmm. renditions because it was all CG.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, absolutely. But I like the first film of him actually having to put it on and deal with it, because it shows you that he's learning how to do this as a character.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, very cool. Number six for me is I feel like I'm stuck in the early 2000s at this point now, folks. Late 90s, early 2000s. Oh, boy. Good old Memphis Reigns. It's Gone in 60 Seconds. The remake, the 2000 version with Nick. Wow, and that's two Nick Cage movies almost in a row on my list.
Time it took you to buy your ticket. Go. 3.2 minutes. Time it took you to get your popcorn. 2.5 minutes. Time it took them.
Well, let's go.
To steal your car.
Hello, ladies.
60 seconds. 60 seconds.
Move, go.
Come on, Sway, baby, work your magic.
Hold on, I know you ain't gonna do what I think you're gonna do.
Have to go old school. A day to shop, a day to prep.
Surprise attack.
Nice. Little trick I learned in the car thief retirement home.
By the time the first car is reported stolen,
all this,
your ship set sail. We do this, we do it my way.
I was just a sucker for a redhead.
Friend. Okay, let's ride.
Gone in 60 seconds.
What do you think is more exciting, having sex or stealing cars?
I love this movie for the story. I love it for the cars. I love it for just how cool it was. Number five for you, sir.
Number five for me is Fun with Dick and Jane. Another one of my go-to feel-good movies that I watch when I just want a good laugh.
Meet Dick. He's a loving husband.
Are you sure this is a good idea?
I'll just remind him to be a little less vocal.
With a promising career.
The big boys want to see you upstairs.
Which floor? 20th?
Not the 51st.
Congratulations, Mr. Harwell.
But just when he thought he was on his way up.
I believe I can touch the sky.
I believe.
His company.
What's going on?
Hey, there's a fire. Somebody should call.
I'm so lucky that I keep covering my backside.
Sold him out.
He bankrupted the company, and he's getting away with $400 million.
Our savings, our pension, everything is gone.
We may be in a little bit of a pickle, Dick. Our lawn was repossessed today. I didn't even know they could do that.
We followed the rules, and we got screwed.
Want to grab a cup of coffee, Lauren?
Ice mocha sounds nice.
All right, everybody, two ice mochas. Let's go. Move. Are you okay, hon?
I'm okay.
All right, nobody try to follow us, because we're desperate criminals. We're crazy people. Are these non-fat muffins? Are they non-fat muffins?
I think so.
Oh, geez, hon, you got to get some of those. You're gonna
get it. They're using their new skills.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Oh, Hunter.
To teach big business.
You want to rob Jack McAllister?
A lesson.
We got to get this guy.
He's got to go.
Columbia Pictures and Imagine Entertainment present Jim Carrey, Tay Leone.
The place looks amazing. What's your secret?
Fun with Dick and Jane.
We really should turn down that car.
Can't be that bad.
I can relate to it because I too have been laid off before abruptly by a company, and that's what happens to him in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very relatable. Plus, I love Jim Carrey movies.
Yeah, you do.
Under most circumstances, he's got a lot of ones like there are certain ones there's no way I can rewatch them.
Yeah,
just because they're so stupid.
Yeah,
especially when they come back for a second one. You know, he's only done that successfully once, in my opinion. So. But yeah, that's kind of my other go-to movie. Plus, it's funny because it's things you would never think of as an unemployed person. Granted, he also applied to multiple jobs, which resonates with me because I applied to when I was job hunting. I applied to 1,500 jobs before landing one.
Right, yeah.
So I can totally relate to the predicament that he's in.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, as long as you have a movie that you enjoy with relatable characters and things like that, that's always going to be a rewatch or a favorite kind of thing. For me, my number four is a 1998 action film starring the late, great Patrick Swayze, Randy Travis, and Meatloaf.
Hey everyone, future TFG and Mike here, and as we are about to hear my love of the film Black Dog, we recorded this before the announcement of Meatloaf passing away, so just keep that in mind. We're releasing this after Meatloaf has died, but we talked about it before he died. Man, I love Black Dog. Now, on with the show. Rest in peace, Meatloaf.
You read your Bible?
Probably not as much as I should.
You try and lead a good life?
When I can.
That's the most important thing.
This is Black Dog. Black Dog is the truck driving movie. Jack Cruz has just been released from jail, and he has to drive this truck, and he keeps seeing this black dog hallucination, which is brought on by exhaustion. And this actually is a factual thing, you know. So And I just love seeing Meatloaf as a villain. It's just fun. Oh, man. Yep. Number four for you, sir, is...
Free Guy.
Catchphrase.
Well, I haven't had time to think one up yet. Although catchphrase as a catchphrase is a pretty cool catchphrase.
Yes. Okay. I realize this movie is very recent. I've seen it no less than 6 times.
Is that because you're putting it on as background or you actually want to watch it?
No, I initially start to put it on as background and then I watch the entire thing.
Okay. Okay.
Very cool, so, very cool. Yeah, I think part of it is it's so original that it just is instantly, it's instantly appealing to me. And so I don't have a problem going and watching it just for fun.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Number four for me is... based on a video game franchise. It is the 2014 Aaron Paul starring, directed by Scott Waugh. It is the finally, after so many years, I've been waiting for this to be made into a film. Need for Speed.
I spent 2 years thinking about one moment. He set me up. In our world, you always go back. He just left him there. That's what I can't forgive.
That's my boy.
Yo, T, I'm really happy you're home.
Boys, we miss you, brother.
It's time to celebrate.
Call up some females. Do you know any pretty ones?
You like your mama?
What are you thinking, Toby?
This could put him away for life. It's time we make him pay. But first, we're gonna need a fast car.
Y'all ready?
We're doing this.
Racing is an art. Revenge will surely come. But racing with passion, that's high art. I think that's Toby Marshall driving the chariot of the gods.
I'm willing to give $6 million to anyone who puts a stop to him.
We'll settle this behind the wheel.
APB out for your arrest in 10 states. Maybe we should rethink the plan.
I'm never gonna stop.
You are out of your mind. I love it.
So I have to talk a little bit about video games here because that's where Need for Speed comes from. I, you know, early 2000s, I was playing all kinds of Need for Speed games, Hot Pursuit, Hot Pursuit 2, like all that stuff, you know, and I just absolutely loved it. And every time I would play those games, whether it was on PlayStation or whether it was on PC, I would be like, a lot of these environments, a lot of these cars would make a really, really great film. 2014, they give us Need for Speed. And I know it's critically panned and everybody doesn't like it and whatever, whatever, whatever. Here's what I take away from this film. Again, it's another one of those, you know, down on his luck kind of guys. Toby Marshall, who was played by Aaron Paul, you know, he has Marshall Motors and their mechanics and they work on all these cars and everything else and all this and all that. And, you know, he's a street racer. So again, it's again, because hello, Need for Speed is street racing, just like Fast and the Furious is, whatever. He gets set up. He has to prove his innocence and things like that. What I love about this movie, though, is that when I watched this movie for the first time in theaters in 2014, everything I wanted from the video games visually was put into, like, every piece of background as they're driving, every locale that they go to, I can see in a video game for the Need for Speed franchise kind of thing. What's also ironic about this is that we have Rami Malek in this, and this was the first time I had seen him. I had not seen Mr. Robot yet, because I don't know. I'd have to check to see if Mr. Robot premiered before or after this. But anyway, I think maybe it had premiered, because I was like, hey, wait a minute, I know that guy, kind of thing. The other interesting thing with this film is that the guy who's behind the scenes of what they call the De Leon is, get this, a recluse billionaire who is played by Michael Keaton. So in 2014, I was ready for Michael Keaton to be back. I was like, hey, look, it's Batman. He's hosting drag races. That's what he's doing. He's not being Batman. He's hosting drag races. Oh, I love this movie. And I love the Nathan First score to this, the instrumental stuff. It is so fun, so awesome, so interesting. All right, getting down to the nitty gritty here, folks. Number three, what do you got?
All righty, here we go. And I'm going to break your mind. I'm going with the Spider-Man 2002 Raimi films.
All three of them?
Yes, all as one.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I'm going as the trilogy, not isolating them.
Okay.
So I won the Spider-Man 2002 was one of the first superhero movies I saw in the theater.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it was the first one I saw in the theater.
Who am I? You sure you want to know? If somebody told you I was just your average, ordinary guy, not a care in the world, somebody lied. Truth is, it wasn't always like this. There was a time when life was a lot less complicated. Can I take your picture for the school paper?
Sure. In this lab, we have 15 genetically enhanced super spiders.
There's 14. One's missing.
Peter, are you all right?
I'm fine.
Pete, look, you're changing. I know I went through exactly the same thing at your age.
No, not exactly.
Wow.
Peter, may I introduce my father, Norman Osborn?
Great honor to meet you, sir.
Harry tells me you're quite the science whiz. You know, I'm something of a scientist myself.
What the hell is that?
Whatever it is, somebody has to stop it.
With great power comes great responsibility.
This is my gift.
Wow.
It is my curse.
Who are you?
Who am I? I'm Spider-Man.
Do I get to say thank you this time?
Do too much. You're not Superman, you know.
And I loved that stinking movie. Yes, it had some bad CGI when he jumped across buildings.
Yeah.
Like really bad CGI.
I mean, it's 2002. They yep. were just, you know, doing this for the first time kind of thing. I mean, it's not like Spider-Man can wear a dark cape and be in a dark alley in Gotham City. So,
yeah. yeah. But I don't know. I just I liked Tobey Maguire's take on it. I liked the fun that kind of happened in the movie. I kind of saw myself in it a little bit with the nerdy dude that, you know, ends up kind of just ends up in not a great place with high school. I was not fond of high school, so it just it resonated in a lot of ways for me. So I really enjoyed that movie. And then, you know, continuing on through the rest of them, I don't know. I have a more greater appreciation for the second and third film upon rewatches now. Mm-hmm. And when I saw them originally, I didn't quite care for them as much. And I did see them in the theater because I remember having the musical soundtrack mm-hmm. to both of to all three of them because I went and bought them mm-hmm. at Record Town. And that dates me some. But So I mean, I really enjoyed those films. And then a lot of the callbacks that are in the latest Spider-Man movie just made me go back and rewatch it again. And I haven't seen them in a number of years, but I have rewatched them numerous times over the years. So it was nice to go back to it with a fresh eye and rewatch them. And they're actually still hold up and are really good, even for today's standards.
Mm-hmm. So, I have plans, and I did this intentionally since we created this podcast 2 years ago. I've had this plan for 2 years. May 3rd, 2022, we will be releasing an episode where we cover the entire Raimi trilogy 20 years after it released.
Oh, so you want to do that this year?
Oh, yeah. Oh, we kind of have to. number three for me is a 2001 film. It is John Cusack, Kate Beckinsale, Jeremy Piven again, along with Jim's dad, Eugene Levy, which he's even annoying in this film as this character.
He's annoying in everything, though.
And I think the only thing he's not annoying in is the Capital One, the new Capital One ads, the car insurance ads that he's doing now, whatever. Anyway, Serendipity.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tell you what, buy me a cup of coffee, they're yours.
You really did have that easy. Do you believe in fate?
I never thought about it. Will you get me your phone number?
Don't think about it. Just say the first thing that pops into your head.
You have beautiful eyes.
Second thing that pops into your head.
You have beautiful eyes.
Come on now, stop it.
Is this a date yet?
Just checking.
Favorite movie?
The correct answer is Cool Hand Luke.
Favorite sexual position? Favorite New York moment?
This one's climbing the charts.
I'm flattered.
Maybe you should give me your phone number. That was an accident.
There are no accidents.
This is wrong. You don't have the most incredible night of your life and then leave it all to chance, do you?
See this book?
Yeah, I do.
Tonight when I get home, I'm going to write my name and number inside it. And then first thing tomorrow morning, I'm going to sell it to a used bookstore.
What happens if I meet somebody before I find it?
You won't.
That's just crazy.
Hey. It's Sarah. My name's Sarah.
You're getting married in 3 days. Why? Would you risk your relationship just to search for some old pipe dream?
You could enter this account number in the computer and just tell me your name.
When you put it that way,
no. You cannot be over here. You cannot come over to this side of the counter.
This is really important.
Oh, boy, did it again. Cross the line.
I'm telling you right now, British women do not age well. Years ago, you know, she probably looked like Baby Spice, but now she could look like Old Spice.
I'm thinking about this mystery guy I met 1.5 million hours ago. And it's possible that I threw the whole thing away in a moment of destiny.
I need an old address for Sarah Thomas.
And if you want it, come and get it.
You're my hero. You're out there, man, and you're making it happen.
I'm looking for a Jonathan Traeger.
You must be late.
Late for what?
For the wedding.
Hey, wait!
John Cusack, Kate Beckinsale. When love feels like magic, you call it destiny. When destiny has a sense of humor, you call it serendipity.
They say that once in your lifetime, someone comes along whom you're absolutely meant to be with. For my friend, that person was me.
So this is a romantic comedy. It's, like I said, Cusack and Beckinsale. And I just, what I like about this movie is that you have two people meeting just randomly, which doesn't really happen anymore, especially nowadays. And they kind of hit it off as just kind of two, a man and a woman talking, like, you know, we don't know anything about their lives, but like in parts of it, he, you know, they're asking each other's question. Like he's, you know, she's like, favorite movie. The correct answer is Cool Hand Luke. And I remember that from the trailer, you know, and it's set in New York and it's set a few years ago and then a few years later kind of thing. And it's this whole, it's just a nice, like, I don't want to, it's not a turn off your brain thing. It's a thing of like looking at this movie and seeing how maybe you want your relationship to be kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so that is my number three. What is your number two, sir?
Okay. I'm going to pull this one on you again.
Oh boy.
The entire Back to the trilogy, or Back to the Future trilogy.
Oh.
Marty! You've got to come back with me!
Where?
Back to the Future!
Wait a minute, what are you doing, Doc?
I need fuel! Go ahead, quick, get in the car!
No, Doc, I just got here, okay? Jennifer's here. We're going to take the new truck for a spin.
Well, bring it along. This concerns her, too.
Wait a minute, Doc. Well, what are you talking about? What happens to us in the future? Do we become assholes or something?
No, Marty. Both you and Jennifer turn out fine. It's your kids, Marty. Something has got to be done about your kids.
Hey, Doc, we better back up. We don't have enough road to get up to 88.
Roads? Where we're going, we don't need roads.
For a minute there, I thought you were going to say the Amazing Spider films, but okay.
I didn't like those as much as everybody else, which is kind of funny. I don't even enjoy the current run until this latest film. So my Spider-Man was Tobey Maguire. So I resonate with that. So anyways, I really enjoy the Back to the Future films. I have that on. It's one of the few I didn't get rid of when I did my massive purge. Mm. I still have my Back to the Future trilogy Blu-ray set, and I periodically pop that back in there and watch it. Usually I watch it on streaming, but if it's not on somewhere, I pop that back into my Blu-ray and watch it and enjoy every second of it.
Yep. Absolutely.
And it's one of the few movies that my wife and I can both agree on.
Yes, Back to the Future is amazing. All three of them, even the third film.
Enjoy that one now upon being older. I actually enjoy it more than the second.
What I liked about the third movie is that it was... The first film is mainly about Marty. Second film, kind of mainly about Marty, but it's also about Doc as well. But the third film gets all that out of the way because it's Marty having to go back in time to save Doc, or he thinks he has to save Doc, and all this and all that. And we get the time train, and we get, you know... We get so many awesome lines and so many great characters. Plus, you get ZZ Top with some music in there, and
I just love the whole movie. Like, going back, I have a deeper appreciation for that film.
Yeah,
I remember when that was the first show.
That was MWire. It was MWire episode one. Yep,
I did not care for that movie very much at all, and I remember it. I was just like beating it up and. You know, looking back at it now, I'm like, it's very enjoyable. I could see myself watching this movie often, and I do.
Yeah,
plus, absolutely. I like trying to imitate some of the voices, so it's, of course, very fun for me.
Yep. Absolutely. My number two is, or coming in at number two for me, is another romantic comedy thing, because I am just that kind of person, I guess. It is, when did that come out? Was it 2006 or 2008? I do not even remember. Good Lord, you think I would know this thing? Yeah, well, okay. Wow, June 16th, 2006. Okay. Keanu Reeves, Sandra Bullock. No, not Speed. it is The Lake House. So, one of the things I love about this movie is that it's another way to show two people having a friendship, a relationship kind of thing. It's like this will they, won't they, will they ever meet, because they are technically 2 years apart from each other. And it's just the way that I like how the characters interact with each other, how I loved Reeves and Bullock's acting together. It's just a fun romantic comedy that, even though there's 2 years difference between them, what's fun about that is that you see, like, him going to see where she is and blah, 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 and you don't think anything's going to happen. Because, hello, it seems that they're always 2 years apart, but somehow, through the magic of movies, at the end, they end up together, and it's just really, really fun.
Is it possible,
dear Kate,
to fall in love with someone?
This place. I only wish you were here to share it with me.
From a different time.
Look at the date on the letter. We are living 2 years apart.
This year, come to a place.
This house is about connection.
Where the impossible lives.
Can this be happening? It's amazing.
Keanu Reeves.
Do you have a girlfriend?
Oh, you're gonna think I'm crazy.
Sandra Bullock.
It's kind of a long-distance relationship.
The Lake House.
Yeah, I've enjoyed that one just because I like playing with the mind screw that's the time travel. And then the dog ends up both of theirs.
Yep. Jack. Yep. Jack the dog. What is your number one most rewatched film, sir?
I rewatched this one so many times as a kid. I wore out the VHS tape.
Uh-huh.
And you wouldn't, you know, and this is for live action, because yes, animated, yes. I have a different tape that was completely
ruined,
worn out.
Yeah.
This one was Star Trek VI, The Undiscovered Country.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, my.
I rewatched this movie so many times. That's why I have such a fascination with the uniforms from that era,
mm-hmm,
of Star Trek, and why I like the Enterprise A more than the Enterprise 01, even though they refit them and they look identical except for one has an A and one does not.
Yeah.
And the bridge of the Enterprise looks so much more, I don't know, it just looks awesome, like, compared to anything that was before it, and honestly, mm-hmm, anything that was after it, and other than, like, the Enterprise E, maybe. And I don't know, I really like everything about that film. Plus, it came out in 92,
mm-hmm,
and all of the, you know, you remember libraries, how they used to have those signs that say, pick up a book and read, or mm-hmm, blah, blah, blah. Well, yep, they had the entire Star Trek cast from that film on those posters.
Yeah.
As well as, like, bookmarks and stuff. And so that was kind of my main gateway film of Star Trek. I have series that were more watched than that. But as far as films were concerned, because I had the entire first six films on VHS tape, which when you put them together, they had the they built the picture of the Enterprise on one side.
Right. Yeah. The binding. And, yep.
Yeah. So I don't know. I really enjoyed that film to the point that, like I said, I wore out the VHS tape.
Yeah, absolutely. So like you, I don't think I would put. No, I wouldn't put Secret of the Sword at number one, even though that was a VHS tape I wore out from a rental store. But anyway. Number one for me is, it all comes down to Coughlin's Law. Anything else is always something better. Coughlin's Law, 1988. Tom Cruise, Brian Brown, Elizabeth Shue. It is Cocktail.
In 1 square mile of this saloon lies the greatest concentration of wealth in the world.
Yes. But how was a bartender going to get his hands on any of it?
This is the big time. Are you ready for the big time, young Mr. Flanagan?
I think I can handle it.
This isn't what I ordered! Now, what was it that you ordered?
A martini!
What's in that?
In many ways, to fool a customer. You will learn them all.
Yes, Obi-Wan.
You get the women, you get the bucks. And you can see the color of their panties, and you know you've got talent. Stick with me, son, I'll make you a star.
I want you guys working for me.
This is a real opportunity.
Jet set bartenders, eh?
The Caribbean Jamaica man.
Everybody a drink? My rum specialties, perhaps?
Bartender with a line for everything.
The bartender.
Now, he's about to be swept off his feet.
Wish we could stay here forever.
By the one thing he didn't expect.
Don't tell me Brian Flanagan is in love.
This lady's gonna do a number on you, mate.
This is more than just a one-night stand.
You made a move on her? I'm your friend, you dumbass!
I don't have any friends!
As of now, that is for sure!
Your sexy little smile's not gonna work this time.
What the hell is this?
That's for you.
$10,000? Is that all your daughter's worth?
You think I'm letting some bartender walk into my family?
I love you. I want to marry you.
Throw this bum out of here!
You're so hung up on money.
You see this?
Jordan!
This is how
hung up on money I am.
And as for the way I feel about you, I wish you never know.
Tom Cruise. Cocktail.
I was 8 years old when this movie came out. My mom let me watch anything and everything. So I was watching this movie from 1989 to probably 1992. This is an R-rated film about a bartender, about a military guy who comes home who needs a job, and he finds Brian Brown's Douglas Coughlin in a bar. And they are these bartenders in New York and this, that, and the other. It's just an awesome 80s movie that is not – it screams 80s, but at the same time, it's not – you know what I mean? It's one of those things where it isn't Die Hard. It isn't Terminator. It isn't Blade Runner, which I think Blade Runner was in the 70s, but whatever. The point is it's not Tron. It's not this. It's not that. It's your, I don't want to say basic, but I guess I could use that terminology. It's your, again, most of my choices end up with a guy who's down on his luck, a guy who needs to find something to do, a guy who needs to do this, do that, whatever. And what I love about this movie is the music that's used in it, the acting, and again, this was 1988. So this was probably released right around the same time as Back to the Future 2. And by 89 and 90, when you would see it on VHS, you're like, hey, wait, what's Jennifer McFly doing in a bar kind of thing? But anyway, the music in this, and one of the reasons why I love this so much is when I was in elementary school, our teacher for, I think, Christmas break or summer break or one of the years, or I think it was a third or fourth grade, I forget which one it was, she had said that she and her husband were going to Aruba. Well, guess what song is used in Cocktail?
No idea.
The Beach Boys, Kokomo. So, yeah, that's why I absolutely love this. I don't think the score was ever at, like, I know the soundtrack was released on multiple various things, but yeah, the J. Peter Robinson score, I don't think was ever released. If anything, well, and Records needs to do is release this on CD or something or other. But Cocktail, I just enjoy the film, even though it's about bartending, even though it's about drinking, and even though it's about this, that, and the other thing, and everything else, it's still a movie about someone who is trying to live his life and make the best of it that he can at the end of the day. So, those are our top 10 most rewatched movies. We want everyone to sound off in the comments and let us know what your top 10 rewatchable movies are. You can also send us email feedback@geekcastradio.com. Anything you want to say about your list, about my list, or anything else before we get the heck out of here?
No, I just think that we have a pretty solid list going here.
I don't know necessarily. I mean, there's a whole bunch of changes, and I'll say this now. I should have said this at the beginning. These lists could change at any time.
Mine change often.
Yeah, I mean, these are just the ones that I, you know, my 10 movies are ones that I watch all of the time at any given time. Because here's the thing, and I'll say this next week when we talk about TV shows. I don't watch media the way I used to. I don't just sit there and watch a movie to watch it. I don't just sit there to watch a TV show to watch it. Do I sit there and watch and enjoy the show? Yes, but it's mostly because I am watching it for the first time, or I'm rewatching it to be able to do a podcast on it or something, because I'm refreshing my memory. I'm reminding myself why I enjoyed it, kind of thing. So these lists could change it at any given moment, folks. All right. Where can the people find you online, sir?
On the Twitters at SCP21 or at Steve Phillips VO.
Awesome. You can find us at Geekcast Radio for the network, at its studio, ITS Studio 2009 for the podcast. I am at TFGO and Mike. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/Geekcast Radio Network. You can also check out Studio 2009 podcast over there as well. As I said, next week is our top 10 most rewatched TV shows. For now, I am TFG on Mike with
Steve Megatron.
You'll hear us back in the studio soon.